I think most of you have known me since I was like 13 or 14 years old, so make you feel old? Don't make you feel old, Brother Harry? Sort of. No, I do want to thank you. This is a good church. I grew up in this church, so you guys will always be a part of our, you always have a big part of our hearts. I know this isn't our sending church, that's out there in Toledo, Ohio, but I did grow up here. I learned all my doctrine and all my Bible here, so I appreciate that. Am I echoing?
Can you turn him down a little bit? We don't need the lights off. You're okay.
But thank you for being ready. I mean, look at that. She was...
And you could dim them up there.
And on the spot there. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and show the video then. Hello, my name is Brent Hoffman. I'm a missionary down here in Costa Rica, along with my wife, Jennifer, and our children, Gabriella, Joab, Kira, Vienna, and Judah. And we are your missionaries here in Costa Rica. And first of all, I want to thank you so much for all you've done for us, for your prayers, for your support, for your faithfulness in always supporting us, because without your sacrifice, we would not be able to be down here serving the Lord. So we had originally raised our support to go down to the country of Panama, which is one country south of us right now where we're at. In 2017, we came to Costa Rica to language school to learn the language of Spanish. And we had spent almost the entire year here. And at the end, in December of 2017, we moved to Panama to start working for the Lord down there, pursue our calling down there. And after 6 months, we discovered that Jen's heart was just not able to handle the heat, the humidity. She had pre-existing conditions that we were unaware of. And after much prayer, we were forced to move back up to Costa Rica. But thank the Lord, He did not close the door on us. Sometimes you feel like, well, that one door closes, what else am I going to do? But the Lord so wonderfully opened up another door for us to continue working here in Costa Rica. One of the jobs of a missionary is to provide hope for the lost. We are here to provide hope to the other people. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." So one of the things we're trying to do here is provide hope to the people. And one of those things, there's many different areas you can provide hope. But what we're looking at providing hope to the hopeless. A couple years ago, the Lord opened up a door for us in this area called Tirasas. And God has opened up a door here in an area that's not quite very desirable. But God has opened the door up here for us in a place called Tirasas. Most of the prostitutes in San Jose come from here. Many drug lords are down here. And a lot of times people here, when they ask us where the church is, we say Tirasas. They say, "Ooh, why that area?" It's kind of like in the Bible when Philip went to find Nathanael, and he said, "We have found the Messiah." And Nathanael said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And it's the same thought here. People say, "Can anything good come from Tirasas?" But Jesus Christ still came to this earth to die for these people here. It doesn't matter if it's a nice area or it's a not nice area. These poor people still have a soul that Jesus Christ died for. And we're here to provide them that hope that Jesus Christ loves them as well. Another area we try to offer hope for is in the homes. Like, we come down here to Tirasas and we offer hope to the hopeless, but also offer hope to the homes. I can take you to our church people. And pretty much every church person has a devastating story that people in America would not realize. We have two sisters in church. They actually started out in church with us at the very beginning. One had a baby at 13, the other had a baby at 14. We have another young man who watched his sister choke to death when he was 7 years old and she was 12 because he couldn't get to his mother in time and warn her. We have another man that has struggled with drugs and alcohol his whole life. So really, these homes, they have no hope. Like I said before, most of the prostitutes come from this area. These girls really have no future. The moms see their girls and they say, what are these kids going to do? They see their boys and their only hope for the future, and the hope for their homes is to work for the drug lords, is to work selling drugs. There are kids in this area that sold drugs at 12 years old. They started 12 years old selling drugs, walking around with guns. I've seen so many kids saved. We have seen mothers open their doors and say, "Please help us with our kids, because we don't want them to turn out. We don't want them to go through what we had to go through." And we can show them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He saves. And these kids are in church. We have so many kids in church that their future is very bright. And their parents are so excited because they don't have to live in the streets. They don't have to work for the drug lords. They see another way out for their kids. They see a way through Jesus Christ. So the third area we're trying to focus on with this hope is the hope through healing. Right now, our country, just like every other country in the world, is going through this pandemic, through this fear, and our government here is very strong, very strict on their regulations, and And they're promoting everything almost to the point of hysteria, where we're still required to wear masks everywhere. People are scared to greet each other. And we're trying to grow our church through this. We're trying to help our people, lead them away from the hysteria. We're trying to heal them with the word of God, with the gospel, with the fact that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We can love on each other. It's
tell about him.
Okay. Last
time
I was up here about 5-6 weeks ago, we talked about Juan Alberto. This is a very precious man to me. I led him to the Lord in March. He's curly, okay? He looks like curly, does he not? He doesn't, oh, wise guy. So he doesn't say that, but he's a very precious man. And he passed away in July. So this is that you all took up an offering to help his wife, his widow, and his son. So she told me to tell you, she could not express how thankful she was for the offering that you have given her. So thank you so much for that, she says. But this is our Juan Alberto, one of my favorite people that has ever lived in the world. Just a wonderful man. So I just wanted to say that about him.
That's it?
That's it.
He took the shot and died 2 weeks later.
Yeah, he took the shot and died a couple weeks later, was the thing.
And that is the only picture that his wife has of him smiling.
She only has about 4 pictures of him anyway. So
that's something.
Last year in 2020, the government shut down our church, shut down every church in this country from March until April, no church whatsoever. But during this time, every 2 weeks we'd go and visit our church people. We'd take them rice, we'd take them beans, because a lot of them without work. We'd take them other essentials for them to get through this. And we'd just show them that we love them, that we can heal together through this. And during this time, when church opened back up in August, thank the Lord, from August until now, our church has over doubled in size. Many churches around here, their pastors are asking me, how are you doubling? And I said, it's because we're healing together. We're showing them the love of Jesus Christ. We're showing how much we love them as brothers and sisters in Christ. And lastly, we're offering the hope of heaven. In a country that is strongly Catholic, that is very familiar with religion, but not familiar with Jesus Christ, we can tell them there is hope for heaven. You don't have to walk around in fear. You don't have to walk around worrying what's going to happen if you get COVID or if something bad happens to you. Because we have seen people saved. We've seen entire families saved, get in church, baptized, and now they are offering their hope of heaven to other people. They're inviting people to church, and it's been so wonderful to see them receive the hope of heaven and then share the hope of heaven with other people. In a country that is very familiar with religion, 3 million people come to this place every year to pray. But very few have a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Savior. We've been able to plant seeds of hope in the hearts and minds of many people. And thank the Lord that seed of hope has sprouted as they've realized their need of salvation. They've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And not only that, those people are now moving on and planting seeds of hope in other hearts and other minds. And we've been able to accomplish this together with your faithful support and your prayers. Thank you so much for your sacrifice in helping us stay down here and plant those seeds of hope. Thank you.
What we're doing down there, Lord's been very good. Actually, I already miss it. I kind of want to go back. I didn't think I'd want to, but now that we're here, I want to go back. Nothing against you guys personally. It's just, it's not a personal thing. It's just I see our church people. We text them. They text us probably every day. I receive a text from somebody at church. They say, "When are you coming back, Pastor?" I was like, "We've been gone 12 days. You got a couple more months yet to go." But it's been good. But like I said earlier this morning, please do pray for our people. They aren't in the drug war, but there's a drug war going on around them. I think the story is one young man shot another drug lord and killed him. So the other drug lord decided to take it out on the whole family. And so they're killing all the way down to distant cousins. It'd be like, if I did something, they're going after my cousin's kids. So they're just killing a lot of people in broad daylight. And they shot 24-year-old lady, at 9 o'clock in the morning, 3 doors down from one of my church person's house. So she texts me, she's like, "Pastor, we're all scared." So do please pray for them. It's kind of scary time for them. So they have not only they have to deal with that COVID junk down there, but they also have to deal with this stuff that's going on. They sent me the picture of a dead body laying in the middle of the road. I was not expecting to see that. It was a little alarming. I'm not sure how they got that picture. But so pray for them. But thank you so much for all your support and all your prayers, all your love. I know it's said a lot. And I say it at every church. because we are thankful. But some churches are a little more special, especially if you grew up in that church, you know. Like, I know every single person in this church. We're going to be in 34 churches in 14 weeks. I don't know all those people, but I do know everyone here, and I am thankful for every one of you. Well, I should say I know almost everyone here. Jason, I don't know your girlfriend yet. Are you going to introduce me right now? Okay, hello, Mrs. Jason's girl or Jason's girlfriend. So I couldn't hear your name. You got to talk louder. It's easier that way anyway. Okay, before I start, were there any questions about the work down there, what we're doing? If you guys talk more, I preach less. If you guys talk less, I preach more. So it's up to you. Whatever you guys want to hear. Everyone's like, yeah, everyone's hands shots up instantly. What in the world? Okay, Mrs. Phillips. Right. A lot of the guys go into construction if that's available there. Honestly, we're just trying to focus them away from the drug lords. It's like Juan Franco, the boy that died, or the boy, his father died. He's a 15-year-old boy, big kid, really nice, but the drug lords already approached him about working for him because he's a big guy. So his mom's, he got saved, thank the Lord. So he calls me up. He's like, Pastor, I'm not going to work for him. And so we're just... Honestly, really right now, what we're trying to do is just keep them out of the streets and keep them in church. And later on, we'll have to see what goes on after that. They do. It's very rough. I have a friend there who I've tried getting a few guys some jobs there, but right now we're in a massive recession. So there's really not many jobs at all down there for anybody. It's really sad. Mr. Hare, did you... No, no, they're actually, believe it or not, they're very respectful to church. So I'll go door knocking, and I saw a guy. I knew he was a drug lord. It was kind of obvious when he had a crown tattooed on his face. And I invited him to church. He said, oh, no, I can't go to church. I said, why not? He said, well, I'm not living right. I said, well, start living right. What's your problem? He goes, I know I need to. But he never threatened me once. And they get under conviction, but then they don't do anything with it. They just like the lifestyle. But no, no threats against us. So far, thank the Lord. Anyone else? The average pay for the construction worker is probably about 10 to 15 mil a day, which is probably about $17 to $20. That's what they make a day. That's what they work all day, working hard out in that sun, and that's what they make. I really don't know how they survive. We have a family of four. Actually, we had a very worrisome afternoon. Was that Tuesday, Wednesday when Tonio called? Or Karen? We have a family. There's an older man. Actually, was in the video, the one talking in the gray T-shirt, and I was standing beside him. We actually had to cut him off because once he starts, he's like, you put a quarter in him, and he does not stop. So I had to get Carlos to stop. But him and his wife and their daughter, and then there's another man that lives with them. They live on probably $150 a month. That's all they have. So the one guy that lives with them, he was going out at nighttime to go recycling, trying to dig through people's garbage to get stuff to recycle, and he disappeared for the whole night. They're calling us in the morning. We're not sure where he's at, Pastor. And this is, the drug lords are out killing everybody, so we were really worried about him. But thank the Lord, he didn't have his phone with him. And so he just gotten too far away and couldn't get back in time. So, but we spent half the day thinking Tonio was dead. So thank the Lord that didn't happen. Yes, sir?
You know how many people you got saved?
How many people? I got saved? Zero. Jesus gets them saved, but I don't. But I'm not really sure, buddy. I don't know. Down there or in general? Buddy, I have not a clue. But that's a good question. That's a very good question. I'd say over 100. Does that sound good? Although Jesus saved them all, I didn't do anything. I just showed them. But that's a very good question. Jason?
Can't go to school now?
Yeah, one day a week. Because, you know, COVID will kill you. If you go more than one day a week. Seriously, they've not had school for about 3 years now. Because last year was COVID, this year's COVID, year before, 2019, they had a teacher strike because they didn't have school all year either. So, yeah. So our kids are not the brightest lights in the harbor, but we're we're trying to fix that. It's not my fault. They didn't go to school for 3 years. All right, any other questions? Are you guys just... Okay, so you do want to hear me preach or no? Because I keep not hearing questions. I'm waiting for Rick to be like, hey.
Preach, I missed it this morning.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't miss anything. It's okay. Oh, you need an hour. Okay. Well, it's kind of hot, so I don't know if we'll do that. All right. Actually, this is our church is a little hotter than this, so it's not too bad. Oh. Sorry, someone's texting about church today. So actually, it's interesting because last week was our first Sunday without us there, but there had been a boy coming, actually Juan Franco, the boy that his dad passed away, the fatherless son now. I was worried about him. I thought he was going to start questioning God. I thought he was going to get out of church. But he said no. He said, he brought a friend to church. And he came like 3 weeks in a row with a friend. And I went to his house. I kind of talked to him, but I didn't really want to push him. But he seemed like he was kind of ready. But then the man that's taking our church, I texted him. I was like, Miguel, can you go talk to Alexander? I think he's about ready. So he got saved last week. Our first week gone, so he got saved. So it was great to see fruit continuing without us there. So our church people are really excited. They're because the man watching our church, Zatico, he's born in Costa Rica, grew up down there, came up here, got saved, married a gringa, a white girl, and went back down there. And so she doesn't speak any Spanish, but he's obviously fluent. He's a native. So he's watching the church, and our church people are taking turns teaching the kids. So they will have a nice, healthy respect for Jen when we get back. I think they're already counting down the days till she gets back. I have the easy job. I have the adults. She has the kids. My job is something. Well, I get the kids halfway through church. All of a sudden, they all come wandering in. A couple weeks ago, I think it was our last Sunday there. She taught a lesson that was really short. What? Oh, it was her leg. She had surgery in her leg, so she was. I got about 15 minutes of my sermon. All of a sudden, all these kids come flocking in the auditorium. I'm like, oh great, I guess we're gonna be done, guys. We're done. The parents thought it was great. So. All right, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2. But yes, our church building is very warm. It's warmer than this every Sunday, so I don't ever wear suit coats because it's too stinking hot. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. But first of all, we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this afternoon you've given us. Lord, thank you that we can celebrate the wedding of a very godly couple. Lord, thank you for my grandparents. Thank you that they have shown us what it's like to be married for 70 years. Lord, that is quite the impressive feat. Lord, we ask if you'd help us to be faithful to each other. Help us to be faithful to you. Lord, because even marriage is important, but Lord, you're even more important than that. So please help us to be faithful to you. Lord, please give these people what you've given me out of this message. Get me out of the way. Lord, ask if you just help us learn about you. And amen. Amen. All right, we'll go to 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. Now we'll go down to 16 as well. I think this is kind of appropriate for this hot service right now. I preached a series. I like to preach series because I have to have less original thoughts that way. It's great in Spanish. So I preached a series about the senses. And this one today is I'm going to say, how do I smell? How do I smell? Right now, probably a little rank because I preached this morning and it's hot this afternoon and I was on there. No one's giving me a hug yet. I don't blame you. My cousins are like, bye, Brent. We'll see you later. But how do I smell? I preached about how do I look? How do I sound? But I'm preaching about how do I smell? 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, and them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Okay, so today we're going to talk about how do I smell. We all have a smell, right? We all have a smell to the Lord. So we spend a lot of time, we put on a lot of deodorant, right? If you go down there in Costa Rica, everyone smells very strong. They smell very good, but very strong. The guys love wearing the deodorant and the cologne and stuff like that. They just love smelling it. And even the people in our poor areas with dirt floors and everything, they make sure they smell a little powerful, but a good powerful, but it's smelly. You can smell them like the guy walks by your church door and you can smell them about 15 seconds later, then about 30 seconds later, and that smell just kind of hovering. It's like, okay, yeah, it smelled nice the first 5 seconds and I'll go away. But how do we smell? When I worked here doing lawn care, you can ask Jen. To her, she thought I always smelled like gasoline and grass and the outside air. If you ask Ashley, who worked with me, she would have told you I smelled like death. So she's not here. I'm sure she would have said amen if she was still here. Some of you, I don't know if you know Jim Hendon. Did anyone know Jim Hendon? I worked with him for a summer. I didn't bother wearing deodorant because he outpowered me in about 5 minutes. It was like, whoa. One time I was leaning against the wall and he reached over me to screw into something. And I went, Jim, you're killing me. Get out of here. But we all talk about, we always think about how, and we're always kind of self-conscious. Like if you smell, you kind of, as a teenager, I know. You know, if you notice you smell, you just kind of never raise your arms up. You just kind of go like this all the time. I'm speaking from experience. So we spend a lot of time in the bathroom. We spend a lot of time making sure we smell good to other people, right? Well, you should. If you don't, shame on you. And that's why you have no friends. But we spend a lot of time thinking about how do I smell? I don't want to smell bad around other people. It's just common courtesy. But really, we don't think about a smell, how we smell to God. We smell to God as well. Verse 15 says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. Verse 16, to the one we are the savor of death unto death, and the other of savor of life unto life. We have a smell. We're going to smell to the world. We're going to smell to God. We're going to smell bad to somebody. We're going to smell good to somebody. But how do we smell to the Lord? I mean, I don't care if the world thinks I smell like death, but I want God, I want to be a sweet savor in the nose of Christ. Because we leave in after, when you think of someone, like I think of my granny, my mom's mom. The first thing I think of when I walk into her house, what she always smell like, Mom? What? Mothballs? That's not what I was thinking. Okay, that was not what I thought, okay? We obviously... You say the same thing? Okay, well, they have obviously different memories of my grandma than I do. I think of mint, okay? She always smelled like mint. She had all that mint around her house. She smelled like mint. Don't listen to my mom, okay? Huh? You're talking about Granny. She always smelled like mint. Okay. Well, Mom and I are having a disagreement here. Okay. Well, I always thought she smelled like mint. Okay. Apparently, Mom thought something else. But so whenever I smell mint, I think of Granny. Whenever Mom smells mothballs, apparently she thinks of Granny. I don't know. But for mint, I always associate that smell with my Granny because she smells like mint. Like I associate the smell of garlic with like death because I absolutely hate garlic, as anyone knows. And people that smell like garlic, I try to stay far away from them just because it's just nasty. They smell like the pits of hell. Amen. I do not like garlic, in case you can't tell. My church people all know that down there, and they always try to get me to eat garlic, and I tell them, no way. It was a punishment growing up, okay? It really was. But but how do we smell to God? This is what I want to get back to. We all have an odor. You kind of think, like, I think of my granny and mint. You think of this and that. When God thinks of us, when he smells something, will he think of us? Is it something good or something bad? The Bible, if you read the Bible, if you study the Bible, you realize that we do have a smell to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a smell to God. It says here we're a sweet savor. Some Christians are not a sweet savor. Some Christians are a rank working man's boots to the Lord. That's nasty, okay? I don't want to be that to the Lord. I want to be, well, I don't like mint either, to tell you the truth. But I want to be something that smells good to the Lord. We're going to go to Ephesians 5, verse 1. Ephesians 5, 1. Because we're all going to leave something lasting here on this earth. We really are. A legacy or something. But I'm going to focus today on the smell. We're going to leave something in the nostrils of the Lord. Something. But also when you smell it, you remember it. How's the Lord going to remember us? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a what? A sweet-smelling savor. How are we going to smell good? How are we going to leave a good smell in the nostrils of the Lord Jesus Christ? How is God going to remember us? It basically is what I'm saying. How is God going to remember us? You smell something, you have this connection, this and that and this and that. What's God going to think of when he smells us? How are we going to leave this sweet-smelling savor to the Lord? If we read here in this area, it says, it's very simple. It says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. We have to follow the Lord, don't we? As little kids. What do little kids do? They drive their mom nuts, don't they? I heard Weston, we spent the whole weekend with Weston. Every 5 minutes, where's mommy? I was like, I don't know. Where's mommy? I don't know. Where's mommy? I still don't know. Okay, he's following mommy around everywhere. He wants to do everything mommy does. Little kids are like that. I'm sure poor Kayla with all five of those down there. I was looking for mom. I know Jen went through that. What? Oh, four of them. Sorry. Sorry, wrong one. I know. I just don't know which twin is which still. Kayla always dresses in the same. I even tell her, like, please dress them different so I can tell who they are. And she never does. But we're supposed to follow Jesus, follow the Lord as a little child. How do little kids follow him? Obeying. Generally, they should. Obeying Jesus Christ as a little child. Not questioning the Lord. How many times have we questioned the Lord? When the kids are little, they say, you tell them to do something, they say, why? And what do you say? Because I told you, kid, shut up and do it, right? Parents notes for later. For the ones that don't have kids yet, that works until about 5 years old. After that, you have to have a real reason. So, but you follow Jesus Christ without question, as a dear child, as a little child, not wanting to be apart from him. Those little kids don't want to be apart from mom, do they? They don't want to be apart from dad. How's our attitude with Jesus Christ, with God? Do we want to be apart from him? Or we just, oh, Sunday, I'm here. Okay, I got my Bible read for the day, and I won't think of Jesus the rest of the day. I won't think of God the rest of the day. The Bible says, how often are we supposed to pray? Pray every seven hours without ceasing. You have to follow Jesus Christ as a little child. Yeah. Like those little kids, and they're in a new place. Man, they're scared. When we were in deputation, we went to a different church. We were in two different churches every Sunday. Man, Judah would not let go of Jen's leg. She's like permanently super glued to her leg. That's how it should be to Jesus Christ. As a little child, stuck to Jesus Christ. Just following him, not questioning his word, not questioning his will. Verse 2 says, and walk in love. I know, we're Baptists. This is a bad word for us. We don't say the L word. We're allowed to love people. You know, we're allowed to love people. That's not just for liberals. That's for us as well. Jesus Christ loved us enough to die for us. We can love the others. We can love the others. We can love the unlovable. We can love the uncool people. That guy in my video there. I don't know if you guys remember. There's a younger man, a little rat. I patted his belly. I love teasing Graven. He's a great guy. He loves me. He loves Jen. He loves our family. He is, what is he? Severely autistic? He's got something wrong with him. I counted 1 week. I got 11 hugs from Graven one Sunday. And it was harder than this. I'm like, Graven, just stop, please. I love you, okay? 7 was enough. I don't need 11. But he loves us. And he gives us hugs. He gives us hugs all the time. He gives Jen nice big kisses on the cheek. She loves him. Now, down there, we hug and we don't like kiss, but we hug and kiss when we say hi. We don't shake hands down there. It took a long time for me to get used to that. A very long time for me to get used to that. But Graven loves us, and we love him, even though he's unlovable. No one wants to hang around him. He follows me around, and he doesn't really know how to communicate. He'll just stand there and be like, I won't say it, just stare at me. Like, hey, Graven, what's up? Good. He just wants to be loved. That's all he wants. That's what the world wants. They want us Christians to be loved. And we have Jesus Christ. We have the love of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to show them that love. And walk in love. It's a commandment from the Lord. It's not just for the cool people. It's not just for the people that might help our church. It's for everybody. Jesus Christ died for everybody. Verse 3, but fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh the saints. How about we avoid these things against the Lord? Verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. We're not going to read them all for the sake of time. But this is how we're going to leave a sweet smell to the Lord. We're going to follow him as a little child. We're going to walk in love. We're going to avoid the things of the world. We're going to avoid those things that God says that are an abomination to God. We're going to avoid all that. Verse 7 says, be not therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're supposed to stay in the light. Light and darkness don't mix, right? The world's dark. Christians are light. What are we doing mixing with the world? Why are our best friends unsafe people? Why are we hanging out there in the bars and with people that aren't serving the Lord? Light and darkness doesn't mix. It says right here that walk as the children of light. Verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So if we do all these, if we follow God as a little child, if we walk in love, if we stay in the light, when we do this, we will show to God what is acceptable. We are proving that we are acceptable. We are a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. Because that's why I want to leave this scent with the Lord. I want to smell good to the Lord. I want to be like, oh, reminds me of Brent. He did something good for me. So this is the first point, first part. Next we're going to go to Philippians 4, 16 through 18. The Bible says three times here, because I got the Baptist part there with the three points. The Bible says three points, three times here. I was reading about leaving a sweet smelling savor in the nostrils of the Lord. Philippians 4, 16 through 18. It says, and this is when Paul was talking here to the Philippians, obviously. He said, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that ye may abound, that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a what? An odor of a sweet smell. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." When we offer, when we help other Christians, when we give our offerings, when we give our tithes, we're leaving a sweet smell to the Lord. I know it's sin to be pride, to be proud, but I was very proud of this church when you guys stepped up and helped Carla. You know what that was? That's a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. You guys left a smell to the Lord. It's like, oh, First Baptist Church of Lowell. It smells good. That's what he said. This is actually the third First Baptist Church we've been in a row. First Baptist Church of DeMott, First Baptist Church of Hammond, now First Baptist Church of Lowell. It's like, next week I think we're going to Second Baptist Church or something. But we were at First Baptist Church of Hammond Wednesday night, and Judah heard the church First Baptist. He goes, "This is the First Baptist Church ever made?" I'm like, "No, buddy, that's not what it means. It's just of this town, okay?" So he was kind of confused about that. But when we offer things, when we help out our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're leaving a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. We really are. Don't give it to me. And I say this all the time. Don't give it to me. Lord is taking care of everything we need. We have no needs. We have no wants. We have desires, okay? If you want to give to that, that's okay. No, just joking. I'm joking. But when we give to our brothers and sisters in Christ that need it, that are in need, like Carla, you're leaving something sweet to the Lord. And what did verse 17 say? It's actually not only it's interesting, it's not only that. You're not only leaving a nice, sweet smell to the Lord. Verse 17 says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire what? Fruit." Man, when you help your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're getting fruit. You're getting rewards in heaven for your sacrifice down here. Sometimes it is a sacrifice. I'm not denying that. Sometimes it is a sacrifice. Sometimes you have to give things and you have to sacrifice of your own wallet, of your own bank account, but it's fruit to the Lord. It's something that abounds to your account. We're going to go to Exodus 29:18. Exodus 29:18. I know as a missionary, it's easy to talk about tithing and giving. We support missionaries as well. Lord put it in our hearts many years ago, even before we were ever in the field, that we support several missionaries of our own money. And we went to the field, we said, we're not giving that up. Lord put it in our heart that many years ago, we're going to still continue. So I'm not just speaking as the one receiving, I'm also speaking as the one giving. Because if you're a missionary, you're a passion, you don't give, you're a hypocrite. You really are. As a missionary, you should be giving as well. Exodus 29:18 says, "And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar as a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a what? A sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto who? Unto the Lord." How's your savor to the Lord? Do you smell like cigarette smoke? Do you smell like burnt hockey pucks? That's what Heidi used to always make. She only made it a few times. Right, Mom? That burnt hockey puck Heidi made that one time. I think Luke and I took it out in the backyard, and we actually literally played hockey with it. But as someone that does not cook, I can't make fun of her, so it's okay. I cannot cook. But we're going to go to Matthew 25:45. And I'll keep it short. We're almost done. I know everyone's tired. Everyone's hot. I am aware of that because I have sweat running down my legs right now. It's really gross. I need this suit to last 3 months, too. It's like, come on, man. Not the first day. Come on, last. Matthew 25:45. This is the story when Jesus was talking to people and talking and said, "I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was in prison, and you helped me." And the people said, "How? How did we help you?" 25:45 says, Then shall he answer them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." Jesus said, when you don't help them, you're not helping me. When you're helping them, you helped me. I'm going to read... Verse 40, that's the verse I was looking for, sorry. "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." When you guys gave to Carla, you gave it to God. Honestly, she's some lady in Costa Rica. You probably will never ever meet her. Her house is literally three rooms. four rooms, kitchen, a bathroom, and two tiny bedrooms. I go in there to visit her, and I don't sit in the couch because there's no couch. I sit in her bed. At first, it was awkward. It's like, okay, I'm just sitting in your bed here. It's kind of awkward. You guys helped the least of your brethren. You did it to the Lord. When we do that, when we help other brethren, we do it to the Lord. We're leaving something sweet in the nostrils of the Lord. Then finally, we're going to go here to Revelation 5, Revelation 5, 8. So we have, first of all, we have walk in the way of the Lord. You'll leave a sweet smell, a sweet savor in the nose of the Lord. If you offer offerings, if you help your fellow Christians, you will leave a sweet savor to the Lord as well. And also, Revelation 5, 8. And I feel, I know, just being completely honest, this is something that I struggle with. My biggest struggle in my life, my Christian life, and I don't know why, is consistent prayer life. And it just aggravates the fire out of me. Like, I need to get consistent with my prayer life. Jen and I always talk about it. She's always preaching at me. Right, Jen? No, she doesn't. But it's just, it aggravates me. I want to be more. I pray every day, but it's not like as consistent as I want it to be. But Revelation 5:8 says, "And we had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." We're going to go to Revelation 8:3. Revelation 8:3. It said, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne." Our prayers are an incense to the Lord. Every time we pray, it's like a little incense drop in this vial. How many of that is mine? How many of that is yours? And how are our prayers? Are we praying for others? Are we praying for our own ones? You have not because you ask not, you ask and you have not because why? You ask amiss. It's most of our prayer life. Lord, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. Isn't that most of our prayer life? Lord, give me this, Lord, give me this, Lord, give me this, and Lord, give me this. And thank you for what you've given me. Now give me more. Is that how we do it? That's how we pray. Most of the time, that's how we pray. But we have to pray for the other. Psalms 141:2, to pray for our brethren. Those vials up there are the vials of our prayers. But I don't believe if we're praying selfishly, if we're praying in our own wants, we're not filling up those vials. We're not filling up those vials. It was last week we were at Joe Kenning's church Sunday night, and a man told me after church, I met this man one time, probably 5 years ago. Joe's church doesn't support us. They were still in the SBC, so they didn't support us then. But this, and so I haven't even really presented there up until last week. We just stopped by there because Joe's a good friend of mine. I just wanted to see him. And this man in his church took my prayer card and wrote our name in front of his Bible. And he told me after church, he said, "Brother Hoffman, I want you to know I pray for you every single day." I don't know who this man is. I couldn't tell you his name. If he walked by me right now, I couldn't tell you who he is. I don't remember. I see so many people. But this man's a prayer warrior. I believe he's filling vials up there in heaven with his sweet savor. Psalm 141:2 says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Our prayers are a sweet smelling savor in the nose of the Lord. And a lot of times, we just skip that. We focus on the Bible, we focus on studying, but we skip the prayer. Prayer is so important. It's so important. We pray. I pray for my church people every day. I tell them, "Don't worry, guys. I'll be praying for you every day." And I do. I pray for them. I wake up in the morning, and I pray for my church people. It doesn't take long. There's only 8 of them. No, there's more than that. I'm just joking. But I pray for my church people every day. And I know that many of them pray for us. I really do. I think they're praying for us to come back so we pay all their bills. I'm not sure. No, but they pray for us as well. But how are we praying for other people? I know many of you pray for us, and I appreciate that. I pray for my family, too. I pray for my siblings. I pray for my in-laws. Yes, I do pray for my in-laws. Good prayers, too. Good prayers. Okay, I just want you to know the good prayer. All good things. But I pray for my parents. I pray because I want them to be good Christians. I don't pray because I think they're bad Christians. I pray for my dad. I pray that he has strength to keep going. I pray for you guys. Obviously, to be honest, I don't pray for you all every day. I don't have the time. I have a list. I pray for the churches that support us. I pray for the people in the church. But prayer is very important. Prayer is very important. When we do that, we leave this sweet-smelling savor in the Lord, to the Lord. So I just wanted to get us to focus that. I know it's a little bit of an odder title. I like coming up with odd titles for my sermons. Jen yells at me sometimes, telling me I come up with some immature ones. I have a great one, but she won't let me preach it. It's okay. I'll have to go preach it somewhere else. Moses' Excuses, the other title I had, is great. Ask me later. I'll tell you what it is. So, but this is, how do we smell to the Lord? Man, like I said, growing up, you think of, we all had someone growing up that just, when they were like 13, 14, 15, they discovered deodorant like a year late, too late. You guys ever have that? I think I was that one growing up. Like, I discovered deodorant like a year way too late or 2 years too late. You can ask my friends, my one friend I had. But how are we smelling to the Lord? We're going to jog a memory to the Lord. Are we filling up that sweet-smelling savor? Are we following? Are we walking in love? Are we following him like a little child? Are we giving? Are we helping out our fellow Christians? Are we praying? That's how we're going to leave a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. I want to leave good memories to the Lord. I want him to be like, ah, oh, Brent, I remember him. It smells like mint. Mint and a little bit of thyme or whatever. I like the smell of thyme. Basil, I like basil as well. It smells like basil. Or it's like, guy, it smells like garlic. That's nasty. How are we going to smell to the Lord? Really, how are we going to smell to the Lord? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, thank you for this time to talk about you. Lord, it is a privilege to talk about you. Lord, we can spend all day, all night talking about how great you are, and we never even scratch the surface because you are just so perfect. You're so wonderful to us. And Lord, we don't deserve anything you've given us. Lord, we ask if you just help us to leave a sweet-smelling savor to you. Please help us to make you proud. Please help us not to be ashamed to your name. Please help us to be actual Christians, little Christ, that tell others about you, that lead others to you. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, this church is a blessing to our heart. Lord, we love this church. I ask you to just allow this church to continue being a sweet-smelling savor to you. Lord, we ask if you come back soon, and amen. Amen. We are dismissed.